Asking and seeking, the things in our lives that weigh on our hearts the most, those are reminders to pray. Years ago, I had a good friend, a good pastor, a mentor. He's up in years, I think just celebrated 40 years of pastoring not long ago, Brother John Vaprzan, up in Michigan. Brother Vaprzan was preaching when I was a teenage boy, and he was telling the story. His dad had just recently passed away at that time, many years ago. He said his dad had a watch that had an alarm on it. His dad set the watch to beep evening, morning, and at noon. And it would beep, and it reminded him. He told his son, his dad had a Hungarian, I think they were Hungarian, if I remember right, but he had a very strong accent. And he told his son, he said, when that beeps, he said, that reminds me to go into the presence of the Lord and to pray. And he said he was at his dad's deathbed, and his dad closed his eyes, took a sigh, breathe his last breath out. And he said it was just a matter of a few seconds after his machines all went flatline. He heard his watch beep, 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 beep. And he said he took that watch off his daddy's arm and just wore as a reminder. He knew his daddy went into the presence of the Lord to be absent with the body, to be present with the Lord. Amen. And he knew that his dad did not enter into a strange place. He went into a place he'd been to many times before in prayer. Hey, let's not let heaven catch us by surprise. Let's go there often before the throne and pray. All right, be seated if you will tonight. We're going to study God's word together. Are you ready to study? Amen. It's my job as the pastor of this church to lead us into the word of God. We're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And we're going to be dealing with winning strategies tonight, and specifically winning strategies in social media. You say, what does that have to do? How can you make that biblical? Well, everything's the Bible. It's my job to bring the Bible into every part of our life. Hey, listen, the Bible is more relevant today than the newspaper that was written this morning. Okay? Bible's more up to date. Has something for every need. Paul was talking about in 1 Corinthians 15 that there was word spreading around that there was no resurrection of the dead. It was spreading around in the church. Paul got wind of it. He said, what are you talking about? He said, man, there's people in this church that are talking about things they ought not to talk about. Listen to verse number 12 of 1 Corinthians 15. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? He said, why are people in the church talking about this and spreading around that Jesus didn't rise from the dead? Hey, listen, he's saying what we say has consequences. What we're talking about has an impact on how we live out our lives, has an impact on our doctrine, has an impact on our manner of living. And he said, you got to be very careful what you talk about. In fact, it's in the context of the resurrection, but he's talking to the church about it. The church needs to be careful and guard itself on what it talks about. And verse number, if you look down here in verse number 33, he says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. He said, listen, evil, harmful, hurtful, sinful communication will corrupt, literally begin to rot our manner of living. Hey, listen, look right here. Young people, look at me. Do you know why many believers today are living a corrupted Christian life? Their lives are corrupted. They're allowing sin to reign in their life. I'll promise you, they're listening and looking and watching through the eye gate, through the ear gate, things that have to do with sinful behavior. They're watching movies with profanity and nudity and vulgarity and alcoholism. Their favorite television shows are about who's sleeping with who and what next drama is going to happen. And that's how we live our lives, because evil communications corrupt good manners. You know, it's amazing. The world is acting right now. The world is up in arms that Hollywood is corrupt. Yeah. Their minds are blown. I mean, did you know that we've known for many, many, many years that there's been all kinds of perversion going on in Hollywood? You say, well, how did you know? Just look at what they produce. out of the abundance of man's heart, his mouth speaketh. And we're listening and watching things that we ought not to listen and watch. And by the way, that creeps in, and this has to do with our social media. Social media is nothing more than just an electronic platform, an electronic community, through which users create online communities to share information. It's nothing more than what's been done all through the ages of man. There's nothing new under the sun. It's just a different way now of the same thing. It's how people communicate. I can talk to you electronically. I can build a community electronically. I was just in Pensacola, and I walked into a room with 20 different pastors. And a pastor from Canada looks at me, and he goes, "Dean Miller, I didn't know you were going to be here." And I said, "Who are you?" He said, "We're friends. We're friends on Facebook. I follow you on Twitter." I said, "We've never met. How can we be friends if we've never met?" You see, that's the problem with social media. Twitter makes you think you're wise. Instagram makes you think you're a photographer. Facebook makes you think you have friends. Okay? And you don't. They're not really there. And so we have this setup of this social media today that we can collectively meet with people in their lives and talk. We can put pictures and videos and all sorts of things. And it's in our day-to-day lives. Listen, let me run through some statistics very quickly. I gave you some last week, and I'll just remind you of how prevalent it is in our world. There are 2.8 billion active social media users. Now, when you put that in perspective of 7.5 billion people on the planet, and many people are living in parts of the world where there's very little electricity, if any at all, many of us that are in the Western world don't understand. I wish that some of you could come to Asia, if you've never been to Asia, and just travel through Asia and see the abstract poverty. People living in the shanty towns. Today, millions of people in Manila, Philippines, living in the shanty towns, in India, all over. Listen, there are cities in India with millions of people in them. And in the morning, the trucks pull in, they go into these shanty towns, and they carry out the bodies by the hundreds and put them in the trucks and carry them out to be burned. And it happens every single day. People starving to death, they're dying all the time. It's all over. And we over here, we're so immune to all of that. We don't realize it. But so in the civilized world, this is a major number. 2.8 billion people have a social media account. YouTube reaches more 18 to 49-year-olds than any cable network in the United States. Can you imagine that? YouTube reaches more people than cable television, any cable television. There are 100 million, this one blew my mind, 100 million hours of daily videos watched just on Facebook. Every day, 100 million hours are spent watching videos on Facebook. That's not counting all the other platforms of social media. Facebook has 8 billion daily video views. 8 billion. More than one per person on the planet. Facebook Messenger handles 60 billion messages per day. 60 billion. The average Facebook user has 155 friends. One of the most popular social media platforms among teenagers is Instagram. Instagram added 100 million new users in the last half of 2016. That brought their total to 600 million users on Instagram. 60% of U.S. smartphone users between the ages of 13 and 34 use Snapchat. Snapchat is a thing, parents. It's a thing where you can take a picture or post a short video, and you post that on there, and then it's a disappearing thing. It'll go away after a while, but they call them snaps. You communicate through just a snap of a video or a picture, and you can write on it. You can put different things on it, little filters and so forth on it. And so 60% of everybody who has a smartphone between 13 and 34 years old is using Snapchat to communicate. Snapchat has reached 10 billion video views per day. 9,000 snaps per second are uploaded to Snapchat. 9,000 a second. Can you believe that? And it has an average of 770,600,000 snaps per day posted to it. It has an advertising revenue. Snapchat alone has an advertising revenue of $1 billion. They're giving something to young people for free and making $1 billion on it. Facebook has billions and billions of dollars of revenue through advertising. They give it to them for free. You're using Facebook for free. And yet the owners and the Facebook corporation is making billions of dollars. How do they do that? They're selling information and they're able to direct target you. They see you with your little cat chasing a laser. And so they know that they can target cat food to you. They can target pet products to you. They can target laser batteries to you and all these different things. And so they can sell directly to you. And the revenue is striking. And it is in our lives. And I'm afraid it's only going to get worse. And we're living, I believe this, I believe that social media really are WMDs. They are weapons of mass distraction. I believe that people are totally going through lives. They think that we're connected with so many people, and yet we're sitting there with our people at our tables, in our living room. Husbands and wives are going to bed and they're spending hours looking at a screen and not talking to each other. We're totally distracted. We're going through our lives lonely and alone. I gave you some things last week, and I won't belabor some of these points, but I want to say this. I read several blogs last week on the plane on the way back into Mississippi that were written by CEOs of major social media platforms such as Snapchat, Instagram, Mark Zuckerberg over Facebook, and they were writing to new developers of apps. And this is very interesting. They all had a common theme. They all mentioned something like this. They were telling new app developers, when you develop an app, don't get away from the seven deadly sins that are in men's hearts. They said, tap into that. That's where the money is made. When you make an app, make sure that that app has a component in it that taps into one of the seven deadly sins. And so what they're basically saying is draw men into it, which is the same thing. Listen, by the way, there's no new sin in the world. There's just new ways to express it. If we were to drive up north and we go to an Amish community today, you know what you're going to find in an Amish community? No electricity. No automobiles, no radios, no DVDs, no television sets, no smartphones. But you will find adultery, fornication, lying, theft. You'll find all of that. You know why? Because the hearts of men are there. There are no new sins. There are just new ways to express them. There are new ways to engage in the sinful nature with what's going on in the culture. And so tonight we're going to look back again at some of the sins of social media. Now I told you this. I'm giving a winning strategy to us because a Christian has to bring everything he does. And by the way, some of you say, well, I don't have Facebook, but you text. Texting is part of the social media things. We have text messages. Every text you send, every communication that you have, you need to bring it under three tests. A Christian needs to bring everything under three tests. And it has to pass all three. It can't pass the best two out of three. It's got to be all three. Number one, you got to bring everything in your social media life has to come under the fact, will this glorify God? Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. So, hey, when you post, is that to be done to the glory of God? Yes or no? Everybody awake tonight? I think we're a little bit afraid to answer right now, huh? This is getting really close right up to home, isn't it? The second test we have to pass is, will it bring glory to God? Number two, will it become a sin to me? It may not be sinful. It may not be sinful to engage in social media, but if I get into it, can the thing become a sin to me? Can this get a hold of my life and bring me under its power? Listen, there are some of us tonight that we cannot call Jesus Lord, our master, because we are more submitted and engaged to our social media checking than we are checking in with him and what he would have us to do. We check in more with Instagram than we do with Jesus. We like more things in Instagram than we do that Jesus said. And so we got to be careful that that doesn't become a sin to us. And number three, it's got to pass the test. Will this cause someone else to stumble? Many Christians are living our lives so selfishly that we're not considering our brother. You have to consider your brother. Listen, there's been some things that have gone on in the Christian life that we've got to make sure that we are considering our brother. They're not sinful things. They're not sinful things. But you have to consider, will this cause someone else to stumble? Christians all get up in arms. Should a Christian eat pork or not? Well, look, some believe that you shouldn't. And if they believe that this is in my conscience to God, I cannot eat this, in my conscience towards God, then you don't go to that brother and engage him in a debate about that, or bring him over to your house and cook a pork chop and say, now, brother, I want you to see that we can eat this to the glory of God. Well, you might be able to, but he can't. Don't cause him to stumble. Paul said, if I knew that meat was going to cause my brother to stumble, I wouldn't eat it while the world stands. I wouldn't do it. Be careful that we're not causing other people to stumble. There might be something that you like on Facebook that might be very benign to you but can cause another weaker Christian to stumble. Well, because you like it, it's okay for them to like this and this and this and this. You see where I'm going? So let's be careful on our social media. Let's get a winning strategy. Let me give you some things tonight. We're going to talk about, we're going to finish the negative tonight, and then next week I'll wrap this up, Lord willing, and we'll give you some positives, okay? Some strong positive things that we're going to talk about. Don't take this lightly. Don't dismiss this. Don't take it lightly. If you're a parent, you're a grandparent, you need to teach this to your children. This needs to be reminded in your home. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 19, write that verse down. Paul said, I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. How many of you have flesh? How many of you have a fleshly nature? Well, you have an infirmity then. You have something that you have to carry around that when you want to do good, evil's present with you. When you want to serve God, you don't. When you don't want to sin, you do. You have the same flesh I do. And Paul said, I'm speaking to you after the manner of men with the infirmity of the flesh. For as ye have yielded your members, servants to uncleanness and to iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now yield your members, servants to righteousness unto holiness. Listen to me. Sin begets sin. Sin is a progressional thing. One iniquity breeds another iniquity. One sin leads to another sin. And Paul said, I'm writing to you as believers that you have a fleshly nature. Make sure you live your life that you're not going to get one sin leading to another sin, leading to another sin. And before long, you are so far removed from Christ. He said, no. Yield your members to righteousness, which will lead you one step to holiness. That's what you want to do. So how can we use our life in our social media to bring holiness and bring a good testimony? I want you to understand that Satan has a scheme, and his scheme is to deceive. Satan's motive is murder, and his method is the lie. He wants to kill, and he'll tell you a lie to do it. By the way, sometimes a lie is wrapped up in truth. Do you know you can lie just by the tone of your voice? Did you know that? Years ago when I was in high school, I was driving. I just recently got my license and I was driving. And I was going too fast. I wasn't dangerously speeding, but I was breaking the law. I looked down at my speedometer. When I saw a police officer, I checked it. And I knew I was going too fast. He hit me with the blue lights. He pulled me over. He walked up to my car. And he said, young man, did you realize that you were speeding? And I said, I was speeding? Now, I told the truth. I said, I was speeding. I did. I was speeding. He said, yes, you were. You were going 10 miles an hour over the limit. You better slow it down. I'll give you a ticket next time. Yes, sir. He walked away from my window, and the Holy Spirit said, you lied. You lied. I said, I told the truth. No, you lied. You knew you were speeding. Satan wants to send a lie, a deception, and his end goal is murder. And if he'll get you deceived into something you think is innocent, and he'll get you behind that and have a stranglehold on you before you know it. I don't want him to do that in my social media life. Now, let me give you the first thing. I gave it to you last week. I'll give it to you very quickly. I think the first sin that we have to face in our social media life, number one, is pride. Social media is something that promotes self. In the last days, men shall be lovers of their own selves. Selfie. iPhone. iPad. All right? We have all these things of the eye, all these things of self. Look at me. How many followers? How many likes? And we're all very proud. And so we have to be careful about looking for acceptance and love and looking for that in Facebook and making and looking for that in Instagram and social media and making ourselves look acceptable, making ourselves look attractable. And so we put ourselves out there and all to promote oneself to gain likes and followers. It is so empty. It is so empty. Number two, sin. We didn't talk about this last week, but let me give you number two. The second sin that I believe social media is rampant with is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. It's interesting that right after Jesus, right after Jesus saves us, one of the first things that he commands us to do is to put away hypocrisy. 1 Peter chapter 1, being born again. 1 Peter 1:23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. He's just talking about being born again. He turns right around and says in verse number 1 of chapter 2 of 1 Peter, wherefore, because you're born again, laying aside all malice and all envyings and all hypocrisy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that you may grow thereby. You know what the Lord said? The Lord said, look, now that you've been born again, I don't want you to play the part of a Christian. I don't want you to act and pretend. Hypocrisy comes from the word that means to play the part. It had the idea of a stage actor, of somebody who wears the costume and quotes the lines. And I think far too often, and by the way, this is happening in our young people today because of so many things that are going on in our culture, and the breakdown of the home, the church not doing its job in discipling. Many of our young people are learning to just live by the rules and say what they're supposed to say and get by, but they're never getting a deep, true relationship with Jesus Christ. They're playing the part with everybody else, and part of it is our fault. And we've got to make sure that we're teaching our young people to really get a relationship with Jesus Christ and learn how to hear the Holy Spirit's voice. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Or hypocrisy. I believe that we could actually call it not Facebook, but fake book. People play the part. Social media provides options for filters. It provides options for scripting. In other words, you can portray the image of your life that you want everybody to see. And here's the danger for the kids. The danger for the kids is they're looking through Instagram and Snapchat, and they're looking through all these things on social media, and they're seeing everybody else's life through the filters of their choices, while they're walking through their own reality totally unfiltered. My life doesn't look like that. My home doesn't look like that. My family doesn't look like that. We don't do those activities. We aren't having this much fun. They're having fun and we're not. And you listen to me. They aren't either. Their houses have to be cleaned. Their kids have to be disciplined. Their cakes fail too. Okay? They're not as real in their own personal lives as they appear on Facebook. We got to be careful about hypocrisy. Sowing an image that we want everybody. And by the way, what we'll do is we put an image out there that we want everybody else to believe. And can I tell you what happens? Really, the only person that starts to believe that is ourselves. And we live a hypocritical life. Number three, We have pride. We have hypocrisy. Number three, I believe a great sin of social media today is covetousness. One of the great Ten Commandments, thou shalt not covet. The Lord says in Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. That's like going on social media and seeing somebody's car and, oh, I'd love to have that. Seeing somebody's new house, oh, I wish I could have that. And by the way, I've heard it in recent days. I hear people in our church that are making bad decisions in their lives because what they're saying is this: we're drowning in our life and we're seeing everybody get all these new things. Well, how are you seeing that? We're looking at it on Facebook, Pinterest, Instagram, and we're seeing everybody have nice things and we're wondering why we're not. And it develops in us covetousness. Why can't I have that? I want you to see something very carefully. You young men better listen to this verse. Take your Bible very quickly and look back at Jeremiah chapter 5. The book of Jeremiah was written. Jeremiah was sent to give a prophecy to the people of Israel before they were taken into the Babylonian captivity. He was warning them, hey, it's over. It's over. You're going into captivity. Prepare to suffer the captivity of Babylon because of your sin. And look at one of the big reasons why God sent the Babylonian captivity to Israel. Look at this in Jeremiah chapter 5 and verse number 8. Verse number 7 says this: how shall I pardon thee for this? God said, how can I let you off the hook? I can't pardon you for this. Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods, when I had fed them to the full. Then they committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. Look at this. Verse 8. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. I think some of you parents would be shocked if you were to ever go on Instagram and just hit the little search button at Instagram and see all the things that it pulls up that are the popular things that people are liking and the people that are friends of yours on there that are liking and all that. I think you'd be shocked of how much immorality and how girls get on there and provocatively dress and position themselves and stand to take pictures to show off their seductiveness and their beauty. It's all about, I want to be a beauty. And then you see girls calling each other babe and beauty and all these things and just magnifying the sensuality of life. And then the guys are neighing after all the girls like a fed horse in the morning. And God said, I can't even pardon you. I can't forgive that. How am I going to overlook that? God said, I can't pardon you for that. He said, I've fed you, I've given you everything that you have, and then you're just going to go assemble yourselves in the harlots' houses with lust and feed your covetous eyes. That's major. Women get on Pinterest, and they're going through Pinterest, and they're looking for a fulfilled life. Women already struggle. I read it in one of the blogs. The CEO of Pinterest, he said on there, he said that the majority of our, 77% of our users on Pinterest are women. Women struggle with the sense of inadequacy. He said, so they come to Pinterest looking for ideas on how they can fit in, how they can attain, how they can become adequate in their lives as a baker, as a decorator, and all these things. And he said, and then what happens? They spend all their night looking through this late into the night. They don't get rest. They wake up in the morning feeling fatigued and tired and more inadequate than the day before, which drives them back to the site. You are not going to find your adequacy on Pinterest. You find it in Jesus Christ. You young people are never going to feel fulfilled because you have 500 fake followers and you got 400 likes on a picture. It's empty. Why am I going to exchange the love of Christ for the likes on Facebook? Because I'm covetous. Covetousness. We are covetous. We're looking for things. We want to be something that somebody else is. We want to have what somebody else has. And listen to me. Let me tell you what it did. It destroyed Jacob's life. Jacob was a young man that coveted after his brother's birthright, lied and stole to get it, went to Uncle Laban's house, saw a beautiful daughter, wanted to marry her, said, I'll work for 7 years. He worked for those 7 years. When he got married, he woke up in the morning and found out it was Leah. He said, I don't want the ugly sister. I want the beautiful sister. And Laban said, well, then just fulfill her week, and then after 7 days, I'll give you Rachel too. And here's what he did. He always was chasing after something more. His whole life, he ran and ran and ran and ran looking for something more with a covetous heart. He even tried to make a deal with God. God, if you'll give me all these things, I'll give you 10% of it. God said, no, you owe me that 10% anyway. You're not going to give me a gift because I'm going to give you. Jacob was a covetous man. I believe that we're looking at a covetous generation today. We're coveting after what everybody else is doing and what they're having. And you young people, you better listen to your preacher right now. You are going to go into a dark hole of depression in your life because you're never, here's what you're going to do. You're going to pursue the Rachel and you're going to end up with the Leah because that's always what happens in life. The devil promises you the Rachel and you always end up with the Leah. He always promises you all this and you end up with the less. But can I promise you something? If you'll pursue God, if you pursue Him, He'll give you the desires of your heart. Put your focus there. Listen, I'm telling you, we're living in a covetous world. Number three, pride, hypocrisy, covetous. Number four, I should say, idolatry. Idolatry. One of the great sins of social media is idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12, write it down. All things are lawful unto me. Hey, in Jesus Christ, is there anything forbidden from us? No. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are expedient. Hey, there's nothing as a Christian that I'm going to do that's going to send me to hell. Because all the law was fulfilled in Jesus Christ, and my life is hid in Him. He is the fulfillment of the righteousness of God. Are you listening to me, guys? He is the fulfillment of God's righteousness. And I'm in Him, so everything is lawful to me. But listen, not everything is expedient to me. Not everything is going to grow me and build me in the Christian life. And here's what Paul said. Paul said, all things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Look, Paul said, hey, as a Christian, I can go out and start chewing tobacco, and I'm not going to lose my salvation for it. But that's not going to glorify God. It's going to cause my brother to stumble. And it's going to become a sin to me because it's going to bring me under the subjection of its mastery. And now I'm addicted to that. And I'm going to take money that I should be given to the Lord. I'm going to be giving it to Red Man. And I'm under the power of its addictive force. Paul said, listen, I can't be brought under the power of any. But I'll promise you what we're under the power of today. We're under the power of our phones. We're under the power of the smartphone. We have become a dumb generation under the power of our new idol, the phone. The control that social media has on our lives reveals its place of authority in our life. I can tell you something. It's the first thing you check in the morning. Some of you, the very first thing you do in the morning when your phone goes up, you get your phone and you start looking through your phone. It's the first thing you go to in the morning. There's no hello, Lord. There's no Father, thank you for the good night's rest. We don't even talk to Him. We don't even acknowledge Him in our thought. We go straight to our phones. It is the place of authority. It's the last thing we check before we, many times we've fallen asleep and it hits us in the face. It's interesting. We will always make sure that our phone has power. Most Christians will never seek the power of the Holy Spirit. You get it. You want to freak a modern day American out? Let their phone hit 2% and there's no charger in sight. What am I gonna do? It's okay. Your heart will still be beating. You'll breathe in and out. Breathe in and out. It's okay. I know it's quite surprising, but many of us got around. We were actually able to learn to walk and everything else without a phone. We're brought into the power. I'm telling you, we've made an idol of it. It's likely that we spend more time with social media than we do with God. Social media also demonstrates what we worship and how we worship it. Just go through your social media feed and look at all the things that you like and what you like to look at, and it'll tell you what you really worship. Social media also demonstrates how we worship. We give to social media the most important thing that God has given us, time. Something you can never get back. And we pour it into the altar of sacrifice to the God of social media. Genesis chapter 11 and verse number 4. The people of the Tower of Babel, this is what they said. Genesis 11, 4, this is what they said. They said, let's build a tower to heaven. Watch this. And make us a name. Let's make a reputation for ourselves. Let's make a monument to ourselves. Let's make us a name. It's the same sin. It's the same sin. Many people are on social media not to engage with others. They're on social media to make themselves a name. I want to have more followers. I want to have more likes. I want to find acceptance. I want to make a name for myself on this. We make a memorial to ourselves, a way for who we are and what we like to be memorialized. Social media becomes a way for who we are and what we like to be memorialized. By the way, this has the idea, and at the root of it, stealing God of his glory. What we should be giving to God in glory, we give it to everything else. And we're giving it to things that are virtual. They're not even real. We spend real time in real life on things that are not even there. Let me give you the fifth one very quickly. Sins of social media. Laziness. I went by the vineyard of the slothful. The walls are broken down. Nettles and thorns covered the ground. There was no fruit in the vineyard. Why? Because he was slothful. He turned himself on his bed as a door upon his hinges. He would bring his food. He would bring his hand out from his cloak and could barely bring his food to his mouth. He was so lazy and slothful. He didn't clean his room. He didn't pick up his stuff. He didn't take care of his responsibilities. He wandered around in tiredness and sluggishness. He wouldn't go out and plow because of reason of the cold. He found excuses not to go out there. There might be a lion out there. He found everything he could do to get away from the work that was required, and it breeds laziness. Social media breeds laziness. We live in the information age, and the world is changing every second. And our nature doesn't want to miss out on anything. So we are constantly going back to learn, and we're going back to stay connected. But in reality, we've become disconnected and ignorant. Social media is not why people are lazy. People are lazy because of sin. Social media allows us to be deceived into doing nothing while we think we're doing something. Laziness is a result of our sin. Social media didn't make me lazy. I'm lazy by my nature. But social media is the great game. It's the great con. It's the fraud. I'm busy doing something, learning something, reading something that has no bearing on my life. While my kids are running amok, no one's teaching them. No one's training them. My husband is sitting over there, unloved, and he's getting angrier at me by the minute. Husbands' hearts grow bitter. By the way, sometimes it's reversed. Sometimes it's the wife who's being spurned because the husband can't get his head out of all his apps on his phone. I told one of the young people at the college this week, I had a group of young people that were talking to me after chapel. And one of them mentioned something to me about about our world. And I said, listen, man, you guys live in the information age. These kids right here, I got to be careful what I preach and teach because in 2 seconds they can Google it and find out if it's so or not. I was preaching a camp this summer. I'm out in the middle of nowhere at a camp. I gave an illustration. I gave the name of a classmate that I was in school with in passing. The next day, one of the kids walked up to me, pulled his phone out, and said, hey, is this him? He went and found him on Facebook, went and messaged him. Hey, do you know Dean Miller? Did you remember when you and Dean Miller did this and this and this and this and this? And I realized very quickly, man, I can't give names. I got to be careful not to. This is the age where they're going to go verify and they're going to check. And here's the thing. This generation is ever learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. The number one problem that the president of Pensacola told me he faces with his young people there, I said, what's the number one thing that we as pastors and educators are failing in preparing the kids that are coming to college? And here's what he said, without hesitation, without stutter or stammer, he said, the number one problem is they don't know why. They don't know why they believe what they believe. They don't know why we use this Bible. They don't know why we live the way we live as a Christian. He said they're totally unprepared for life. They know everything. They know how about everything. They know what about everything, but they don't know why. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I just feel bad. I think our kids today are just roadkill on the information superhighway. And it's produced a generation of laziness. And go to the average fast food restaurant and see if you can get quick service because everybody back there is on their phone. I'm in Pensacola. I'm going to tell a story about me real quick and I'm going to be done. I'm in Pensacola. I got our kids in the car. We're having a hoot, man. We're having a blast. We're yucking up. Well, Tia is supposed to be the navigator and she's not doing her job. All of a sudden, she goes, oh, we're supposed to turn left here. Well, it's a double turn lane. I'm way over here. So I just cut straight across the road. I'm going perpendicular to traffic. And there's two cars in the first turn lane. And I squeeze right between them. I mean, I'm totally illegal. I squeeze right between them and get in the other turn lane. And I roll up right next to a deputy sheriff. And when I saw the sheriff, I'm like, oh, no. So I creeped up and I did the whole, like. She was on her phone. And I went, thank God for social media and laziness and distraction. Very quickly, let me give you the sixth one. Gossip. Gossip is a great sin of social media. You know, Twitter's emblem is a little bird, right? And man, isn't there a lot of information thrown around the world today through Twitter? Well, Twitter didn't just get that from nowhere. They got it from the Bible. Listen what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes in chapter 10 and verse number 20. I'm sorry, I said 20. There's no 20 in Ecclesiastes 10. Oh, yeah, there is. Verse number 20. Curse not the king, not in thy bedchamber, and curse not the rich in thy bedchamber. For a bird of the air shall carry the voice, and that which hath wings shall tell the matter. Hey, be careful what you say in the bedchamber about the king, because he might be on Twitter too. And he'll be blasting you on Twitter at real Donald Trump. A little bird will carry it. Can I tell you something today? We've got so many tweets and texts and posts that are just gossip about other people. We pass them along and it's just gossip. The talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. I'm telling you, I believe that we have some major sins that are committed through social media. I wonder if there's some things in your life as a Christian. As a pastor, I'm warning us. I'm warning us. We better look through the teaching of this and start examining our own hearts, making sure that we're not living a covetous life, an idolatrous life, a lazy life, that we're not gossiping and slandering and fighting. And by the way, it's gossip even if you don't name them by name and you just use your little ambiguous things like, you know, when some people do this and this and this, it bothers me. And it's like directed at somebody. Social media becomes a place of just nitpicking and drama and into everybody else's life. Or we don't even post it. We just see it and then we start telling, did you see what this person put? What are they doing? I mean, listen, we know that's true. Gossip. I think one of the greatest sins of it is that we become unfaithful stewards of our lives and time. We're pouring so much precious time into something that is not even real. And I want to challenge us, listen, let's live for the glory of God. Let's pour our lives into other people. Let's make sure that things don't become a sin to us and a stumbling block to other, and use it for the glory of God. Next week, I'm going to give you a couple things on how we can use it in this world to glorify the Lord and use it to edify the church. And I want to give you some principles on that. I think it'll help us.